There's a saying in Ireland that God is good and the devil isn't so bad either, if you know him. That's the bother, of course, getting to know him in the right way. This man, Larry, he lived with his wife, Sarah, in the County Limerick. But even though he was a strong farmer, Sarah was stronger. And she had an awful hatred for the drink, which was unfortunate because Larry liked it. Anyway, at that time, at funerals and at all other kinds of outings, whatever else there'd be plenty of drink there because 'twas cheap and the people were fond of it. Now, someone in the parish died, and of course, Larry had to go to the wake. 'Twouldn't be decent not to send a few prayers after the soul of their neighbour. But when he was going out the door, Sarah said to him, "Hi, be warned. Don't touch a drop and be home early. Say your prayers and come out of it like a good man." Well, of course, 'twas one thing to say it, but another thing to keep your promise, because when he went in the door of the wake house, the first thing that was put into his paw was a crock of poutine. Well, no, like I say, he was the man who was fond of it, and so he said, "Well, one won to me and he had him." But, of course, one led to two, and two led to three, and the night slipped on. People were in a very sad mood, of course, and he didn't feel he could walk out. But some time during the night, or the early hours of the morning, a little thought came into his befuddled mind, and the thought was of Sarah at home, waiting for him. Oh, he said, "I must be going." And he made his way to the door, and out to the pillar of the gate, and put his back against the pillar, and said, "Will I take the short road, or will I take the short road, or will I take the long road? Oh, what am I saying, or where am I going?" In the end up of it all, he said, the sooner he saw home, the better for himself. So he took the short cut across the fields with him, and he knew that way as good as any man in the parish, day or night, drunk or sober. He was making fine progress until he came to this little stream that was in his way, and there was no bridge across the stream, only a plank of timber going across. Well, with the confidence of all drunken men, he put his leg on the plank, and the other leg in front of it, and the other leg like that again, and going fine he was, until he came to the middle, and his courage deserted him, and he got a fit of the shakes and the staggers, and the plank went down into the water, and Larry got the first bath he had in 6 months. Well, he came up the other side, and he spluttering and coughing the water out of himself, and when he stood on the bank, he looked back and said, "The devil take me if ever I come this way again." He went home and squelched home. But I'm telling you, Sarah was waiting for him, and she wasn't long drying him out with the fiery sermon that she preached him about useless blackguards and latchikos walking the roads of Ireland at night when they should be at home in their beds. Ooh, I'm telling you, he was the quiet boy for a number of weeks. He promised he'd stay off the drink forevermore, and maybe he would have, but the neighbours of that place had no consideration for Larry and his problem. They would be dying, and a short while after that, didn't another one of them head for eternity? "Oh, well," says Larry to his wife, "I'll have to go to the wake again. 'Twouldn't be right not to put in the appearance." "Look," says she, "if you come home in the state like you came before, you'll sleep out with the dog tonight. I am warning you, don't touch it." "All right," says she. "I won't have a drop. I had that before," says she. "I mean it this time," says Larry. Well, he kept his word. He didn't have a drop. He had several drops. And on in the night, like before, he came out and planked himself at the pillar of the gate again and said, "Oh, which way will I go?" He wanted to take the long way, but something told him to take the short way. Of course, 'twas the drink talking inside in his mind, and he went the short cut. Came to the same stream of water, forgetting the words that he said before. He made for the plank. This time he was determined to get across, and believe it or not, he did. And he turned around on the other side and he said, "Bet you that time I did." And he was just turning to go home when, there in front of him, he saw the tall, tall man silhouetted against the moon. "Oh," says Larry in a small little voice, who are you, sir?" "Larry, do you remember the words you said when this way you came last?" "I do," says Larry, and something was dawning on his mind now. "Well, now, I'm the man himself." And none other, of course, than the devil was there. And he put out his hand, and put his arm into Larry's arm, and he said, "Be coming on now with me like a good man. We have a long distance to go." And Larry felt the heat off of that fella, but he could do nothing about it. He was turned around and led away from his own house. And they were going on for a good while of the road, and Larry was getting more and more sober at every step. He had to. He knew now that all was lost if he didn't think fast. So he said, "They tell me that you're a great man. Is that true?" "Of course I am," says the devil. Humility was never one of his virtues. "And they tell me you can do anything you like." "Indeed I can," says the devil. "Could you make yourself as big as an oak tree?" "Why wouldn't I?" says the devil. "Simplicity itself." "Show me," so says Larry. And with that, the devil breathed in and swelled up and up and up until he was the size of an oak tree. And Larry now pretended to be frightened. "Oh no, no," says he. "Come down to your own size quick. You're frightening the life out of me. Don't do that." And the devil breathed out and shrank down to himself again. "God," says Larry, "that was very impressive." And they walked on a small while. And then Larry said, "Well, now, I suppose everything grows up. And that wasn't too hard a trick to do, but can you grow down? Could you make yourself as small as a little terrier dog?" "No more bother," said the devil, and he breathed out like that, and shrank down and down until he was the size of a little dog. "Very nice," said Larry, "but could you make yourself as small as a bee?" "Why wouldn't I?" said the devil. "Watch this." And he shrank further down until he was only the size of a bee. "Hold that a minute," says Larry, and he pulled off his purse from around his neck, the purses with the laces on them that they used to wear long ago, and he opened the lace of the purse and he says, "Could you jump in there?" "Of course I could," said the devil. "Jump in, so do it." In went the devil, and the minute he was into the purse, Larry pulled the lace, tied a knot in it, and says, "Ha ha, you're inside now, and 'tis there you'll stay." Well, the devil cursed and swore, and the smoke now and the sulphur was coming out from between Larry's fingers, but he wouldn't let him out. "Ha ha, my boy," says he, "inside now is where you're going to be for a long time." And Larry walked home, twirling the purse between his fingers, and he was a good start to the way home, when what should he see at the side of the road inside in the field? Only the two teams of strong men playing hurling, welting the ball up and down and over and back around the field. And Larry, of course, being a great hurling fan, he put his two elbows down on the wall and looked in. But then one of the big men inside hit the schlitter a welt and sent it out over the sideline and into the next field. And oh, the cry went up, "You dirty gommel, you have our ball lost. The game is ruined. Out there," says the captain, "and find that ball." And off went my man, the big fella, and his two hands dragging off of the ground, trying to find the ball outside among the blackberry bushes. "What'll we do now?" says the captain. "We have no spare schlitter." "Hold on," says Larry, "look." And he took off his purse. "Here, try this," says he, and he threw in the purse to them, and the captain caught it. "A queer ball, surely," says he, "but we'll do." He threw in the ball between them, and they started again their game with renewed ferocity up and down the field, and they broke what bones the devil had. Well, he screeched and roared, but of course they couldn't hear a word he was saying because of all the excitement in the teams. They were out in the game a fair bit when the man in the next door field says, "Hi, I have the schlitter." Threw it into them, and the captain came over and he says, "Larry, thanks very much for the ball. Here it is. I hope 'tis all right." "Oh, 'tis grand," says Larry. "You played a wonderful game. I'm proud of you." And he took the purse, and there he was now on his way home, humming and twiddling the purse between his fingers. Sarah was waiting at the door and her hands on her hips. She meant business. But Larry walked past her, like she wasn't there at all, thinking to himself, of course, if he got the better of the devil, why wouldn't he get the better of Sarah? He walked in past her, and at that time in Ireland, every house used to have a big dresser, and up on top of the dresser there'd be a chest where the family would keep the valuables, like the envelopes that used to come home from America with all the money in them, things like that. And he got the chair, Larry, and went up in it, put up his hand and rose the head of the chest and threw in the purse. And all the time Sarah was watching him, and her two eyes glued to this purse, or whatever it was. "What's that?" says she. "Never mind it," says Larry. "Where's my supper?" There was always men in Ireland that time who'd come home, and first thing they'd ask was for their supper. And of course praying was fierce, tiring work, and thirsty work, and hungry work. "All right," says she, "I'll get the supper, but I want to know what's inside there." Larry sat down and they had their supper, but he wasn't telling her. And they sat under the hob after the supper, having a drop of tea. And every now and then Sarah would look up at the chest, but no information from Larry. Bedtime came, and they went to bed, and still no information. And there now was Sarah inside in the bed, and she scratching and itching over and back, over and back. You'd know that there was something on her mind. And when she got Larry to sleep, she crept out of the bed and down the stairs. Silently got the chair, opened it, put her hand into the chest and rooted around inside until she found the purse, brought it down, over under the hob with it, sat down and opened the lace. And the minute she did, out flew the divil, hit her a slap in the face, knocked her into the ashes, chair and all, head over heels, and struck the front door, bang, and out into the night with him. Oh, the tour and the tatterara in the house. Larry, of course, he thought they were robbers. He jumped out on the floor and down the stairs quickly in his nightgown, and the minute he saw what was happening, and the purse lying at one side, and Sarah on the other side, he said, "Oh no, you didn't do it, did you? You would interfere. Where is he?" "Where is who?" says Sarah. "The devil that was inside in the purse, of course." "Oh, lots of shit. Why didn't you tell me he was in it? How did I know?" "Well, women," says he, "could you be up to him? I'll tell you. There was words in that house that night, and I don't know what was said, and I don't want to know. All I do know is that the people of Ireland, they had the best opportunity of any people ever to keep the devil in his place that night, and they didn't. And of course, he wasn't caught since. Out there he is now, wandering through the world, as we are told, for the ruin and destruction of souls. And he needn't be,